And I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about our epistle from Hebrews. If you're having difficulties in your life right now, and oftentimes we do have them, if you're facing fears or troubles, or if you're feeling anxious, feeling some anxiety, this message this morning is for you. It's a message of encouragement. I wonder, have you ever thought about it? Have you ever wondered who wrote the book of Hebrews in the New Testament? Some people say Paul wrote Hebrews. Others say Luke. Some say Barnabas, or maybe Apollos. Could be Silas, might be Philip. Others say Priscilla. The truth is, we don't know. We don't know. The author is unnamed, but whoever it was speaks about Timothy as brother in the last chapter, in chapter 13 of Hebrews. Timothy, who has just been released from prison. The epistle to the Hebrews was written before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70. And so the majority of the early Christians, as you would expect, were Jewish. They were people who'd been following Jesus, and they were Jewish people. And they were fiercely persecuted. They were under great attack from other Jews who were not following Jesus. They were under attack from Rome. And they were socially and physically just being absolutely persecuted. And so this epistle was written to these wavering Jewish believers, just encouraging them to stand fast in their faith. And the teachings and the practical advice that we get from Hebrews equally applies to you and me as Gentile believers. So for us, we've got two tasks. We need to understand what the Bible is saying to us in our own lives, and we need to be aware of the swiftly changing world around us, the world that's constantly in flux. So it's the idea of a Bible in one hand and today's newspaper or your online news in the other hand. So it's good to remember what we just heard read in the Hebrews passage today. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. True. And unchanging. And it's equally true that the world to which the scripture is speaking is constantly changing. It's a world that challenges you and me, and sometimes is a very demanding world that we're in, and it's often very cruel to us. So it's good to remember the unchanging nature of God. And in doing the research that I did for this message, because of these very powerful verses in Hebrews 13. Don't overlook reading that for yourself. Hebrews 13 has powerful, powerful verses. And they led me to equally powerful, similar verses in Psalm 46. So I'm going to share some of those with you as well. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. And the next verse says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So who is God? Who is God? God is our refuge and our strength. Our refuge and our strength. Annette and I were, about 3 or 4 years ago, we were visiting in the south of France, right on the Mediterranean, right on the water, in a little place called Colure in France. And there is a massive castle. We were living in a place immediately next door, so that when you opened those old weather-beaten powder blue shutters, wooden shutters, you could just take a tennis ball and bounce it off the castle wall, that close. Towering, huge, monstrous castle, fortress, just a vision of refuge and strength. And that's exactly what we read in verse 1 of Psalm 46. God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. And present help means a help that's reliable and it's proven. It's been a it's been a stronghold in the past, and there's no future calamity that's going to make us fear, because we know what a stronghold is. And then verse 2. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, Jesus was so confident in God's being with us that he taught that faith could move mountains right into the midst of the sea. And then in Psalm 46, the last verse we'll look at is verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. In the wonderful children's story about Peter Pan and Wendy, you read about Never Never Land. And if you get in your car and you drive over to Richmond and you go between Blundell and Williams Road, farther west than number one road, you're going to find yourself not in Never Never Land, you're going to find yourself in Mond Land, M-O-N-D. There's all kinds. There's 11 streets, I think 12 streets. Raymond, Trumond, Desmond, Chapmond, Kirkmond. Well, you get the idea. And what's that got to do with you and me this morning? Well, sometimes for both you and for me, we find ourselves in when land. When I get time, I'll pray more. When I get time, I'll read my Bible more. When I get this stress out of my life, I'll be more pleasant at home. When I get this stress gone, I'll clean out that messy cupboard. Some years ago, I was taking flying lessons in Jamaica. I lived there. I was learning to fly on little planes, Cessna 150s and 172s. In the leading edge of the wing of those little planes, leading edge of the wing, there's a little slit. It's about 2 inches long. It runs parallel with the wing. It's just tiny. And you'd probably miss seeing it if you weren't looking for it. But it's got a vital function. It's a scream mechanism. It screams. So that if the wind is rushing over the wing of your little airplane at the wrong angle, when you're taking off, say, from a runway, and you're taking off too abruptly, and it's too steep an angle, or you're up in the sky and you make a turn and it's too sharp a turn, the wind rushes over this little tiny slit in the leading edge of the wing and it screams at you like a child. It's a continuous scream until you stop doing whatever it is you're doing. And it's a scream like a little tin whistle from a child's birthday party. It goes, you can't miss it. And it will continue until you stop doing what you're doing wrong. And what it's saying is, you've put me, the aeroplane, in a position where I cannot do what I was made to do. I'm going to crash. And it's a very strong whistle. The whistle is saying, check me out immediately. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop it. Just stop expecting to do what you cannot do. Stop doing so much. Just stop it. Be still. Be still. Last year, I went to my dentist. I was getting a complicated root canal done. And at one point during the procedure, my dentist turned to me and he said, be still. And I was still. I was still. I didn't argue. I didn't fight him. I didn't jiggle around when his back was turned. And because he's a skilled dentist, he knows what he's doing. And he was trying to save my tooth, and he needed me to work with him. And so that brings us back to our life of faith, about being spiritually still. Spiritually still. We need rest. All of us. And God thought it was so important that on the seventh day he rested. And here we are in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And then you read in back over in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah the prophet, scared stiff, he's running away from Ahab and Jezebel, and he's running and running, and he hides, and the word of the Lord comes to him after the wind, and after the earthquake, and after the fire. And the word of the Lord comes to him in what? A still, small voice. Still, small voice. Sometimes we need to just stop doing and be spiritually still so that God can nurture us and he can heal us in the quietness. In our daily prayers, we often forget to spend as much time listening to God as we do talking to him. We need to understand that knowing God involves regular times of silent waiting and expectant quietness. So be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And this second part of verse 10 is where God addresses a wider audience. He addresses our world. Do you sometimes wonder what's happening to our nation? What's happening to Canada? What's happening to our world? Our world and our nation and our society, and yes, even some of our friends and our family members, are turning their backs on God. They don't care about God. And the attitude that confronts us is that God is irrelevant if he exists at all. The attitude is, don't you understand? I have much more important things to be doing and thinking about and investing my time in than your God. And Psalm 46, verse 10 answers this. It says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. It doesn't say I might be exalted. It says I will be exalted. I will be exalted in the earth. When you're driving your car, do you ever talk to yourself? When you see somebody ahead of you, you're in heavy traffic, and you see somebody ahead of you, and he's gonna barge into traffic in the traffic pattern, but he's barging in illegally, and he thinks he's a real smarty pants, and you can foresee, you just know that he's wrong, and you know that he knows he's wrong, and he's not going to be successful. And you say out loud to yourself with great certainty, not a chance, Charlie. Well, the Psalm 46, verse 10, God says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And this is the voice of God speaking out a warning to an arrogant and a prideful rebellious world, to the nations around us, to our nation of Canada, to our West Coast know-it-all, self-sufficient, self-absorbed society, yes, and to our friends and our family members who don't care about God. And God says, I will be exalted. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In other words, cease and desist. It is I, God, who will be exalted. You don't stand a chance of winning. In other words, not a chance, Charlie. Be still, and know that I am God. Very, very powerful verses. And this brings us back to our Hebrews reading today. These three verses are so strong. We say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? If you're feeling down or you're feeling lonely or if you're feeling sad or discouraged or anxious, these verses are for you. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And another one from our Hebrews reading today again. God has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never abandon you. You know where that comes from? It comes from the last chapter of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 31. And what's happened is Moses has died and Joshua has taken the lead. Joshua is now the new leader. The very last of Deuteronomy, and then you turn the page and you're right smack into the first chapter of Joshua. And God says to Joshua in that very first chapter, he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We need to hang on to those words. Hang on to them. They're not just words. That's a promise from God. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And then in the next verse, he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. That's verse 6. Verse 7, what does he say? Be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, what does he say? Be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. For I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. 3 times he says it in 4 verses. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And then he ends it. I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. We need to hang on to those verses for ourselves. Hang on to them. They're fabulous verses. Great words of encouragement and strength for our lives, no matter what our situation is. And so we carry on. And there's a sense in which each one of our lives is a holy journey. Each one of us. It's a pilgrimage, if you like. And it's got huge implications for our faith. The writer of Hebrews says to us, by faith people went out, took risks, were killed, wandered over deserts and mountains. He doesn't say they went out and built temples and churches and recited hymns and creeds. They probably did all those things too. But it was the going out, it was the journeying that was labeled as their faith. Faith is a relationship with our God. And the important thing is to continue on our faith journey and to continue to discover and to continue to grow. Now, in the past, we may have had a really moving, holy experience in a particular place or an event back then. And we think it'll be enough to just recall that and make that our experience now. But it will not. For us, the way of faith is always forward, not backwards. It isn't that our bad experiences get in the way. Sometimes it's our good experiences that get in the way of new things in the faith. Sometimes we can get stuck looking back there. We're always going forward. Always going forward, never backwards. Our God is always known in new experiences. Jesus is not a stopping place. Jesus is the way. And perhaps that's why Jesus never said, stay here with me. He said, follow me. Amen.